Good afternoon, everybody. This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio Sinoland, on the D-Day beaches of beautiful Normandy in France. And I'm only going to have to go 5 hours back into time to the beautiful country of Argentina and go to Patagonia with my old friend, Modi Nisani. How are you doing, Modi?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm delighted Modi to be and here.
Modi and I, several years ago, I mean, this was back when I first started podcasting and blogging and stuff. We did three audio interviews. We didn't even have cameras back then. And this was back when I was not as popular. And whereas someone else might get hundreds of views or hundreds of listens, Modi got thousands. I mean, His three talks were the best listened to. He was so popular, and we've stayed in touch. And so I finally said we got to get you back on. He has a new website, and so thanks for being on. And now we've got cameras, Modi. Can you believe it? So anyway, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah.
Huh? You can what?
Yeah, now trying to do it. It's not, the connection is not very, very good here, but we are doing our best. We are talking about the encyclopedia, right? And of assassination. Is that our topic?
Yeah. What we're going to do is I'm hoping to do another hat trick, which if you're into ice hockey, that's when you score three goals or hit three home runs in American baseball. So I'm hoping to get Modi to do another triple header. And the first one we're going to talk about is his book that he has now published for free. And I will give it to you. I will give you his website, and you can download his book for free. And this first installment, we're calling The Awful Truth. And then we're going to do another one about another part of his website. And that's going to be Reality Check. And then the third one, we're going to save the world by doing a third one, On with the Good Fight, how to save humanity from these awful people. So, Modi, just take it away. Tell us about your book. It's wonderful. It's obviously years of research. Just tell us what's going on.
Okay, first of all, you call it awful truth, and it's a very appropriate word. But somebody else that I'm going to quote in a second calls it the unspeakable truth, which is very close to what you're saying. And his name is Jim Douglas, and he says the following. We live in a world where assassination has become an unspeakable, nationally approved art to frustrate fundamental change. Jim Douglas. And that is what my book, Encyclopedia of Domestic Assassination, is setting out to prove. And now Jim Douglas wrote a book about the Kennedys, about Father Merton and many others. Many people wrote about the Kennedy assassination. And so the usual approach is to focus on one case. What I did in my book, in that encyclopedia, is to take a bird's eye view of the entire assassination field. And now, if you just look at an individual cases, you can say, well, you know, I think that, let's say, Jack Kennedy, or President Kennedy, the probability is, if you look at it, it's probably 99%. Just one piece of evidence that Jim Garrison, the district attorney of Louisiana, came up with many, many, many years ago, is that 20 witnesses that he had summoned are dead. And he says, Jim Garrison says, I sent it to a statistician to find out what is the probability that 20 witnesses just before they are supposed to appear are dead. And the probability, I forgot what it is, it's maybe one in a trillion or something like that. In other words, just that by itself proves almost certainly that there is something foul about the assassination of President Kennedy. Now, what I did, instead of looking, I looked also, the encyclopedia provides 50 case history. So that also, and it's kind of a shocking or unspeakable or awful, just to look at all these idealistic, wonderful people, almost without exception, people who want to protect the truth and just die prematurely. But my approach, apart from that, apart from providing something like 50 or 60 case history, my approach is I look at it as a natural scientist or as a statistician. I've happened to, along the way, take quite a few courses in statistics and also as a natural scientist. And there is a pattern. There's a pattern that is absolutely conclusive, that actually that the people who rule us are murderers. They routinely murder dissidents. And let me just give you one example. First of all, one illustration. How do you find out that tobacco kills? It's just one example that scientists or epidemiologists look at. You take, let's say, 100 smokers on one hand, and you take 100 non-smokers on the other hand, and you just check their longevity. And if you compare them, and that's everything else is equal, but one group is smoking, the other one is not smoking. And then you compare them and you find out that's the way they find out that tobacco kills. If that the smoker group lives on the average, I forgot what it is, maybe you remember, something like 80 years less. Okay. Now you can do the same thing exactly for dissidents. Okay. The Kennedys, the Pat Tillman, whoever it is. You can do, you can look, in my case, I look at Congress people. So you can look at you can just sum up all the Congress people that were strongly dissident. Huey Long, Bobby Kennedy, people like that, on one hand. And then you compare them to the fellow Congress people who were not at all dissident. So you have here one group dissident, the other one, and by dissident, I mean people who are trying to curb, especially the power of the Federal Reserve, people who actually say, well, you know, we need to really look at the assassination of President Kennedy. We really need to look at the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. We really need to look at the death of President Kennedy's son. So people like that, people who are posing, influential people. It's important to notice that these are influential people. You and I, well, speaking for myself, I'm not influential, so I'm not, they don't bug me. But people like the Kennedys or congressmen or people like that are. So you take that group, and you take the group that are abnormal, and you find out that dissidents, that being opposed to the bank to control our world is a very dangerous thing to do. The dissidents overall, I forgot exactly the number, but I think I came up with the comparison, like in tobacco, the comparison was 29 years less. That's one piece. There are many other pieces of evidence we can go over, but that's the most striking. If you take a holistic view, then you have to say that dissidents kills.
Yeah, well, 3 years ago you were at 15 years, and obviously since then you've researched many more people, because back then when we talked 3 years ago, you didn't have nearly as many people, and now you've added substantially to your unfortunate list of people who have been assassinated, and including musicians and cultural icons, and many more. And then again, we could of course add the Black Panthers. You know, they were just wiped out by the FBI and the CIA and local police. And as you said, you know, you get in the way of the deep state, the oil bankers, you know, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Schiffs, and all the others. You get in their way, they're just going to kill you. I mean, they're not going to blink an eye. You're going to die. And what's crazy is that they can make it look like a suicide. They can make it look like a heart attack. People have accidents, car accidents. You know, Paul Wellstone. Plane accidents. It just goes on and on and on and on. It's remarkable how pervasive it is, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, the maybe a couple of points about the implications. First of all, we have to understand that the people who control our country, the United States, or control the world, really, are really murderers. They are criminals. A second implication of that kind of study, and we can look at the evidence a little bit more carefully later, but a second implication is the futility of traditional reform movements. You mentioned the Black Panthers. That was a massacre. There's no other word for it. That was a massacre. One person that is mentioned in the encyclopedia is Fred Hampton.
And check out.
You remember? You're familiar with the name? Fred
Hampton? Oh, yeah. I interviewed his son, Fred Hampton Jr. I'll send you link. It's an amazing, amazing interview. I interviewed him, and I also interviewed Mumia Abu-Jamal. He's in prison, for murder. He was framed. He was framed up, of course, and he's in prison. And I got to interview Fred Hampton Jr. It's just, I mean, the stories he tells is just relentless. It's just awful.
Just to repeat Fred's story, they just entered, they had a spy, an informer. The informer gave him some drugs, and then they entered the apartment and just killed him in cold blood. In that case, I mean, there was even legal proceedings later. They simply killed him in cold blood, and that's what they did to the Black Panther Party. That's what they did to the Wobblies, the union, the radical union that existed before. That's what they do So the point is, but the important point that I want to make is that we have to, reformers, humanitarians, people who want to save the world, and we are talking about saving the world, because right now, apart from freedom and justice, we also have severe environmental problems. So the only way we can do it, if we just organize, if we just march in the street, if we just establish a party, they will stop it in its tracks, like the Occupy movement. That's another example. That is not going to work. If we are, and that's a very important implication of that kind of research, you've got to realize that you're dealing with murderers. They will stop at nothing. They want to be to enslave humanity, and they want to have as much money as they can. And that is simply the program. David Rockefeller is on record saying something more or less like that. So by marching in the streets, by writing to our Congress people, by voting for one guy or the other guy, this is the joke. We have to find, and we'll talk about it if you feel like next time we talk about the toolkit. But that is the joke. A second A second implication of that kind of research is, for example, right now you're in France, and the most striking thing about the French, the Germans, all of them, that they are shooting themselves in the foot. They are destroying their own economy because they are told to do so by the United States. They are supporting the Nazis of Ukraine. Ukraine is a dictatorship of the worst kind. If you are Russian, and 30 or 40% of Ukrainians are Russian, they speak Russian, they're not allowed to speak the language. I mean, that's how bad it is. And yet the French and the Germans, especially the Germans, are caving in. They are going to, I don't know if France will have problems with heating homes, but they are destroying the economy. So the question is, what in heaven's name is going on? Why do these people, Scholz and Macron, as far as I know, they are Frenchmen. They are actually Frenchmen, Frenchmen or German, right? Why are they destroying the economy? Well, that is the encyclopedia, again, explains part of the problem. You've heard about Olof Palme, you've heard about Aldo Moro, you've heard about Charles de Gaulle. All these people have been either assassinated, Dag Hammarskjöld, maybe you're old enough to remember the UN Secretary General. They've all been assassinated.
Dag Hammarskjöld was assassinated. They blew his plane out of the sky.
Because he was
a socialist.
Why? Because he wanted to bring justice and peace, and it was against, I think it was in the Congo. So those people know, or let me give you another example. There was a guy by the name, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, a German journalist. His name, Udo Ulfkotte. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, Udo Ulfkotte, yeah. I believe it or not, you're making a lot of connections. I interviewed the publishing company and the translator of his book that was in German, and I interviewed I interviewed them about the book when it was translated into English. So yeah, he's another guy. The German journalist. Prestitutes was the name of his book. In the pay of the CIA. I was in the pay of the CIA. Rhymed prestitutes.
Yeah. And the sequel.
I'm sorry.
The sequel. What happened to Mr. Ulfkotte?
He supposedly had a heart attack, but who knows?
He said he outright went against the CIA. And he said, you know, we are not really journalists. We are bought journalists. And the CIA gave us an article. We polished it a little bit. And that's what we do. That was a direct affront to the CIA. 2 years later, the man is dead. Somebody asked him, aren't you afraid to confront the mother of all assassination squads? That's my words. But somebody asked him, aren't you afraid? And he said, of course I'm afraid. But look, I don't have children, and I feel that's the right thing I have to do. And if they kill me, they kill me. So now to go back to the European quagmire or many other quagmires that's happening right now. Why? Because there are blackmail, Macron and all these guys. I mean, we know that they listen to the conversation. Merkel was tapped. Okay, they're smeared. They would push out of office. They can give money to their opponent. And if they stick to their principles, they will be killed. So the implications, just to recap, the implication of the assassination story are enormous. It tells us that we have to find a better way of fighting back, and it tells us, it explains to us why so many people act against the best interests of their own country.
You reminded me, Udo Ulfkotte said, you know, that first off, the CIA uses flattery. They try to flatter you and make you feel important, and and make you feel really like you're doing something, you know, for the good of humanity, and, you know, passing you supposedly secret information and giving you scoops, you know, so that you can be the guy or the gal, you know, to write the article about this really wonderful topic. He said most of the time that will do. Flattery will do it. He said the second one is bribery, you know, money, junkets, trips, you know, being, you know, flown all over the world in first class, you know, doing reports, which is basically bribery because the whole thing is set up to present the story that they want you to present. He said, then if that doesn't work, he said, then they come knocking on the door. Two guys in black suits with briefcases show up and knock on your door, and they open up the briefcases, and they've got photographs of your wife. They've got photographs of your children leaving their schools. They've, you know, the extortion. We know where your children go to school. We know where your wife shops. Do you really want to see your family survive? Yeah. And so they use extortion, they use blackmail, drugs, child pornography, honeypots, you know, prostitutes, et cetera. And then bribery, just out and out money, you know, the Swiss bank accounts or, you know, Bermudan bank accounts. And if that, and then you say they'll do all that. And if that doesn't work, you're dead. And he died.
Absolutely. And just a case in point, I was listening to the other day, a guy by the name of Scott Ritter. Is a weapon inspector. And I knew, I think I mentioned him even in Encyclopedia as a candidate, but I didn't know that he actually sat in prison for 3 years. I mean, this intelligent, wonderful guy sat in prison on false charges. And they tried to, they didn't kill him yet, but he did actually sit in prison. And it goes back a long time. It's not only the CIA. I think the Rockefellers initiated the entire process. There is a wonderful book that really everybody should read, going back to 1919 by Upton Sinclair. It's wonderfully written, much better than all the stuff that, you know, everybody talk about Chomsky. There's no comparison between The Brass Check by Upton Sinclair. He talks about it, one of the cases that he gives. Okay, there was a judge who was not following the Rockefeller's orders. So they did exactly the same thing. They framed him and said that he was a child molester. So it's a really an old tactic. And we've got the horror of it is that they kill. Bob Marley's asked, how long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? And that is it's a moral question for us, for all of us, or at least for the few of us who are awake, is we that cannot continue. We should not allow that kind. It has this kind of murder incorporated. We really need to blow as Kennedy said, President Kennedy, we need to blow the CIA and FBI to smithereens. We need, but that's not going to solve it. We need to change the political system. But that's a long, long shot. But maybe if you want, I can give you a little bit more evidence.
Let me ask you, what's the name of Upton Sinclair's book? I didn't quite catch the name of his book.
The name of the book, it was published, it's freely available, a public domain book. It's called The Brass Check. It's a kind of thing that you can...
The Brass Check. And he talks about
the brass, BRASS, check. And he talks check. About that basically the media in 1919, earlier, it's really prostitutes, or as Michael Moore says, hoes. They are just jumping jacks, as somebody else has said. They are jumping jacks. And the surprising thing is that people actually, I don't watch and go to New York Times, anything. It's a lie factory. But the surprising thing that most people, and it's so obvious, I just don't get it. Why do most people go to CNN or Fox or New York Times and they don't see through the lies and the manipulation? But anyway, the book is highly recommended. It's also highly recommended because it's so well written. It also talks about the Ludlow massacre organized by the Rockefellers, where the Rockefellers indirectly killed the striking miners. And then Sinclair, and that's an interesting story too. Sinclair organized, he says, okay, we are going to Shine, the Ludlow massacre, we are not going to Colorado to do anything. We are going to shine the light on the Rockefellers. So they are demonstrating, quiet demonstration after the murder of many, many children were murdered, women were murdered in that Ludlow massacre. So they are demonstrating in front of Rockefeller's house. Okay, the Rockefellers know how to deal with stuff like that. That by itself is an extremely interesting story. A guy by the name of Arthur Caron and two of his co-workers die in an explosion. Okay, that's how the Rockefellers fix it. But of course, and people at the time knew perfectly well what, but the media, the total media say that he was an engineer guy, he died, but the explanation is that he was preparing to bomb the Rockefellers. It's totally false, but that's a story that goes back more than 100 years ago. So we are dealing with, horrible, horrible people. And that's the way they go about it. The Rockefellers, it's really Ida Tarbell, one of the famous muckrakers, said that this country, the United States, is so much worse because of John D. Rockefeller. And it is. They started, took over medicine. That's why we have the corona business. They took over education. They took over everything. And the problem is, how do we wake up our fellow human beings or fellow Americans? Because that will make a very big difference. But apparently, it's not simple.
Modi, Rockefeller also created the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization was created by Rockefeller, and and we know what it is. It's just a shill for Big Pharma and the vaccine industry. You mentioned now who you said there was a muckraking journalist. What was his name? Who said something about Rockefeller?
It's her name, Ida. Ida Tarbell. Tarbell. She wrote a book about the Rockefellers. And that book itself, I'm now citing it extensively in the encyclopedia. That book by itself tells you everything you need to know. They are clearly, the way Rockefeller, the original Rockefeller, and his children and grandchildren kept going on the same line. The way he made it, the way he made his billions or trillions or whatever it is by murder. He was very smart. He was a genius, an evil genius. All the things that he did, I don't think I would be smart enough to take over the media, to take over the health profession, to take over the educational system. He took over everything. So he was very smart, but the way he rose to the top, if you read Ida Tarbell's book, it's clear that assassination was part of the agenda, its way of going up. And ever since It's been like that. I was talking about Scott Ritter, okay, that he's been framed. But it's look at, for example, another example of the Rockefellers in action. Now we're talking about David Rockefeller, the late David Rockefeller, who lived to be 102, and he was the Spider-Man, the man pulling all the strings. And I read in Naomi Wolf's book a very interesting revelation. He would go every week to visit presidents. Now imagine, a private individual goes every week to visit presidents. But one president didn't want to see him. That president's name, according to him, and I can look it up and give you exact reference. But there was a lot of presidents, surprisingly, who did not feel that he should see Mr. David Rockefeller. That was Nixon. He refused to see him. And Rockefeller kept pressing. Nixon said, no, you set an appointment and maybe I'll see you. Well, what happened later? Watergate.
Watergate, yeah, of course. Yeah, they absolutely. You remind me, and you said, who was that, Wolf? What's the lady's name? You said Wolf visited all the presidents?
I think it's Naomi. I'm not sure about it. I have to check it.
Naomi Wolf, yeah. She's got a Substack account. So yeah, I subscribe to her.
Yeah. So she better be a little bit careful because she now coming up about the Corona crisis, so called. Yeah. And it's a genocide.
Yeah, she wrote about that on Substack. It was incredible. She just called it a genocide. I was like pretty impressed. Yeah. So a brave lady. You mentioned Upton Sinclair. I've used his quote many, many times. You know, he ran for senator, I think it was. I think he ran for the U.S. Senate. He was a socialist.
Yes.
For those of you out there who don't know about Upton Sinclair, he was quite a guy. He was a great writer. He's the one who wrote the muckraking book about the meat industry,
the
meat processing. Yeah, the jungle. And he got. They were forced to pass laws. The Food and Drug Administration was forced to pass law. In fact, maybe the Food and Drug Administration was created because of him. And then they passed laws to clean up the meat packing industry. And then he went after the just consumer. You know, like mattresses were being filled with dog shit and horse shit and dried feces and anything they could stuff mattresses with, you know, to make as much money as possible.
And human flesh.
Yeah.
Occasionally, if I remember correctly, I did many years ago, occasionally somebody will fall into the big, gigantic vat. Well, let's stop them.
Yeah, absolutely. So he was quite a guy, and I love his quote. He said, it's hard to get a man to understand something when his not understanding, when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it.
Absolutely.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I think he was talking about,
I actually know someone personally who had the same thing happen like Scott Ritter. In fact, he has a website called Metallic Man, and he's a member of our China Writers Group. And it's a long story, but he was in the Navy, unfortunately got sucked into MK Ultra. You know, the mind control, you know, the Navy does a lot of that.
Yeah.
MK Ultra, you know, mind control. And he was basically a guinea pig for 3 years. He didn't even know where he was for like 3 years, pumped full of experimental drugs and tortured, et cetera. And then when he got out to to complete his 3 years of being disappeared, they created an entire avatar, almost like an avatar. They created what he did during that 3 years is that he was a child molester, and that he had all, and because they can create, you know, witnesses, they can create fake documents, they can create fake police reports, they can create fake court documents, convictions, etc. And after that, he ended up spending, I forgot, kind of like Scott Ritter, I think he maybe spent like 3 or 4 years in prison after that to justify why he had disappeared for 3 years off the face of the earth. And so he's now living in China. He got as far away from him as he could. So his website's called Metallic Man. That's his handle. So he writes about it all the time. He has to be a little bit. He can't go into too much detail about what happened to him during that 3 years, but he does write about what happened to him. And then there was some other guy just recently, a well-known person, a senator or a House of Representative or somebody in the United States was being arraigned for child molesting. And it's just like...
Matt Gaetz.
Who? Yeah. And also... Okay, yeah, that, yeah. And then, you know, like R. Kelly, you know, the rapper, supposedly, you know, was a child. He was a pedophile. And he still maintains his innocence. I don't, you know... Bill Cosby, he still maintains his innocence. You know, when someone goes through all of that and they're still maintaining their innocence, you just have to sit there and wonder. And of course, the significant thing about both R. Kelly and Bill Cosby is they both supported the Black Panthers. And you support the Black Panthers.
There are many others. Michael Jackson. And yeah. many musicians come.
Brian Jones and Jimi Hendrix were also supported. And Jimi Hendrix both supported the Black Panthers, and they were assassinated. It just goes on and on and on.
Okay.
Yeah. Give us a couple of other cases, and then I'll tell you something.
What I would like to do is maybe focus, before I give you a couple of cases, there are many, many. One of the most shocking to me is Pat Tillman.
Yeah, in Afghanistan. It was just unbelievable.
He was going to, I mean, they put him up when he decided to go to fight after 9/11. He was a nice kid. They put him up.
Tell us who he was. Was he a linebacker for a professional football team? I can't remember.
He was. I mean, it's
a famous football player.
So it's like a Greek tragedy. It's hard to believe how bad these people are. He was a professional footballer. He gave up a $3.5 million contract, and after 9/11, and he bought the poor kid. Bought the propaganda, and he was, along with his brother, he volunteered to serve as an army ranger. I think that's what it was. And he went to Afghanistan. But then he was an intelligent, he was a great footballer, but he also was an intelligent young man. And somewhere along the line, some doubts kept in, and especially about the Iraq war. Okay, Afghanistan was supposedly about 9/11. The whole thing is, of course, a genocide for no reason whatsoever. But he wasn't sure, but he was sure about the Iraq war. So he was going to, just before he was killed, he was going to go to United States and talk to some dissidents and find out what is really going on in this country. And he was going to run against George Bush, going to campaign against him as the president. Now, you know who George Bush's junior vice president was? It's Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney, according to Seymour Hersh, the journalist, had an executive assassination wing. Okay, so now we're going back to Afghanistan, and all of a sudden, some snipers are shooting at Pat Tillman, who is on duty. They're shooting at him, and so he's shouting at them, stop, stop, friendlies, stop. That's the way they're military, friendlies. In other words, I'm an American, don't kill me. Okay, so they stop. He felt that, okay, he's safe now. He stands up and they kill him at very short distance. And then after they kill him, the general, McChrystal, I think his name is, they are telling the family that he died heroically.
This thing was a false flag, a fake.
They at least got the fact to say that it was killed by American soldiers, but he was murdered. It's clear. But let me just maybe kind of an overall view of why I'm certain. I'm just as certain as that they kill. And that's very important to convince people that it's not just whatever the CIA term conspiracy theory. It's a reality. They kill our best and brightest and most idealistic. So if you don't mind, let me just go over some of the evidence.
Sure, absolutely.
Many leaked manuals that show that the CIA and FBI are actually assassination outfits. They simply, that they engage, for example, there is the famous gun that is filled with ice and can poison you. You just shoot you with ice, a small red spot, and you get a heart attack or you get cancer. That's simply a fact. Now, a second line of evidence that it's actually what we are saying is true is that the United States kills foreigners routinely. If they don't like foreigners, they just kill them. A couple of examples, Soleimani of Iran, they just kill them. They are not at war with Iran. They just went and killed him. The famous, most famous example is Fidel Castro. Nobody denies that they tried to kill him. I mean, to me, it sounds incredible that number, but that's what they say. They tried to kill him more than 600 times. Now, he's a head of state, no? And of course, as John Perkins proved over and over and over again. So they are in the business of killing. And as we said about Aldo Moro and so on. So they are in the business of killing foreigners. It's not such a far cry to say that, okay, they are also, if they are capable of killing Dag Hammarskjöld, they are capable of anything. Why wouldn't they kill the Secretary General
of the United Nations? Yeah, they can kill the Secretary General of the United Nations.
If they can kill Aldo Moro, the prime minister, and what is Aldo, his wife says that Henry Kissinger went to talk to him. And she said, I mean, that's all you need to know. She said, when Kissinger left, Aldo Moro, the prime minister of Italy, his face was as white as chalk, as snow. That's how scared he was. He kept going, what was his crime? He was thinking of entering into a coalition with the Communist Party. That's the way it is. Yeah. So ask yourself, if they can kill Aldo Moro, if they can kill Fidel Castro, what right do they, you might not like Fidel Castro, you might like him, it's up to you, but what right do you have to kill a head of state? What right do you have to go to Chile, kill, now here there's no question, Allende, Salvador Allende was a Democrat. He was elected, democratically elected. He wanted to bring some peace and justice to Chile. What did Kissinger do? They the killer and put a fascist in his place. That's the modus operandi in Nicaragua. So if they can do it overseas, why can't they do it in the United States? Okay. Another line of evidence is that if you look at the influential dissidents in the United States, how many of them live to old age? I tried to sum it up, and I came up with only a few people. Of all the influential dissidents, there are hundreds. Only, I think I came up with seven, actually live to old age. Upton Sinclair is one of them. He lived maybe to his 90s. Why did they let him live? I don't know. Pete Seeger is another one. But there are, maybe Ed Asner is another one. Bertrand Russell could be another one. But there are very few, very, very few. Albert Einstein is another one. But Albert Einstein was followed by this FBI for 10 years. So they, for sure, all of these guys had a file that thick in the FBI. They did not, they harassed them. They did all kind of things to them. But they don't kill. But they are the exception. Most dissidents, just line up every dissident you can think of. Going back to Huey Long, the presidential candidate who posed, who actually.
From Louisiana. He's from Louisiana. He was from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Huey Long was from Louisiana,
Presidential candidate there. Bobby Kennedy, presidential candidate, was going to win the election, dead. John F. Kennedy, dead. And you mentioned Brian Jones, Michael Jackson. I mean, look at the list. All the musicians that posed the slightest threat. Why? Because they are powerful. They are influential. John Lennon. John Lennon could, maybe he could start a revolution. So Phil Ochs said that to start a revolution, you need an Elvis Presley, a dissident Elvis Presley, something like that. And John Lennon was comes as close.
Who said that about a revolutionary?
Ochs. Phil Ochs was a folk singer.
Oh, Phil Ochs. Yeah. Okay. Phil Ochs. Okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Wonderful folk singers. And just guess, talking about Phil Ochs, guess what happens to Phil Ochs? He goes to Kenya. Somebody in Kenya cuts his vocal cords.
He can't
sing anymore. And then later he dies young. So that's another line of evidence. Another line of evidence that strongly suggests that we are not conspiracy theories, but we are simply describing an ugly, an awful truth or unspeakable truth is testimonials. It's not one, it's not two, it's not five. Many influential people say it plainly. President Wilson, very plainly, said people are afraid. Most influential people in the United States are afraid. There is some. I forgot the quote exactly, but some sinister power that they are deadly afraid of. Ron Paul, the ex-congressman, also said, and there's many, the encyclopedia provides a whole list. So it's not just dissidents like us or people, it's widely acknowledged that indeed the United States government and the British government is no exception. I don't know who is controlling who, but certainly the British are also guilty of the same thing. They are just murder incorporated. So if you take it all, then what I told you before, you compare the dissident congressman and non-dissident, it's striking. Or let me give you one more example. Do we have time?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Let me give you one more example. Assassination, Wikipedia, which is a CIA operation, but other matter, it still has to stick to the truth somewhat. List six, the last time I looked, list six congressmen who have been assassinated. So I looked it up, and of course, the first four, Bobby Kennedy, Jack Kennedy, the first four are well known. But there were, to my great surprise, there were two other names. One was Allard Lowenstein, and the other one was Leo Ryan, two congressmen. I didn't know anything about either one, never heard of them. But I know now, you've got to look it up. Well, both of them were a dissident congressman. For example, just talk about Lowenstein. Lowenstein had an interview on NPR or PBS, I forgot. He had an interview where he said, we must dig into the Robert Kennedy assassination.
He just signed his death warrant.
Yeah, he was a courageous, wonderful congressman. Before that, he is on record saying, we get Bobby Kennedy into the White House and we'll go after the CIA. Okay, and the CIA knew that that's what he said. So he's dead, one. Second one also. So the six officially assassinated congressmen, all of them are dissident. That cannot possibly be a coincidence. That is Murder Incorporated. Many times I'm able to predict, you can predict too, okay? We can predict who is gonna get into trouble. And I predicted it, for example, I'll give you one example, and I don't have a proof, but that's a real story. There was a guy, a mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. Yeah, Jackson, Mississippi. His name was Chakwe Lumumba. Now, he was a Marxist, and he wanted to make his city different, but that's not acceptable. I actually tried to get hold of him and tell him, just hire quickly bodyguards, because your life is in danger. You cannot talk like that in this land of the free and home of the brave. They'll get you. Well, somehow it didn't get, you know, I'm not influential. So even though I worked as a university professor, short time later I used it. And that's the way it is. I can give you examples, but if people look at the encyclopedia, they'll find many more examples. We can, and that's according to Karl Popper, one of the tests of the scientific theory is that it can make predictions, that it's falsifiable. In other words, that you can prove it wrong. Well, that theory, that fact of assassination, we can make prediction. We know who is next, and usually we are right. We can tell. Now, not too many, but we can tell there is a certain pattern. I knew that when I heard Scott Reeder talk the first time, I knew he's going to be in trouble. Well, he ended up in prison. Everybody knows it. Yeah.
Yeah. In closing, I don't know, Modi, if you have ever read the books by John Potash.
Yes.
And I interviewed him for both of his books, Drugs as a Weapon Against Us. And then his first book was Tupac, of course, Tupac Shakur. And he spent, you know, 10 years researching all of these cultural icons, Tupac Shakur, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Brian Jones, Jim Morrison, the Students for Democratic Society, all, you know, the Black Panthers. They're really, really, really good books. And I interviewed him for both of them. And then the second one is how they use drugs, how they use the CIA used especially LSD to wreck dissident movements, so the anti-war movement, etc. They're both really, really good books, and if you haven't read them, and if it's possible to get them into Argentina, they're really, really worth checking out. And along with your book, which is free, of course, John's are not free.
Well, let me tell you.
But yours is free.
John Arash is heavily cited in my book. It's one of the best treatments of the subject. I cite him heavily, especially in connection with, there is one chapter, one chapter about musicians, and so he cited heavily. Another, maybe I should also mention another one, again, focusing on the book that I'd recommend. Another one is Alex Constantine, and his book is The Covert War Against Rock. Covert War,
World Against Rock.
And he describes, again, Jimi Hendrix, people. So these are, of all the books, these two come closer to provide a holistic view. They talk not about just one person, but they talk about quite a few. So both of them are cited heavily. Now, I don't have any problem.
I'm glad to hear that.
I don't have any problem getting books in Argentina.
Okay, well, but you obviously have John's books because you cited them. So.
Yeah.
You already have John's books.
I was going to say, I have no problem getting books.
Okay, you have no problem getting
books. Because the internet, I could not write that book. I could not possibly write it 20 years ago. But now, John Fadish downloaded it. Alex Constantine, now I can get anything I want, actually. And very often, it's free. So,
yeah. Well, listen, we're going to call it a day. This has been, again, just like 3 years ago or 4 years ago when you and I couldn't even see each other. In fact, this is the first time we've ever seen each other, you know, because
Absolutely.
We always were doing audio and emails. And so I will put your website. The book is free to download. It's a PDF book. I'll also since I interviewed John Potash for his two books, I'll also put those links. And we're going to get back together again. And there's another section on Modi's website. We're going to discuss the first half in a second interview. And then hopefully we can just, in the third half, you know, where he says, well, what can we do to solve this, you know, we can maybe try to come up with some strategies to make the world a better place without all of these psychopaths who are running. Well, I wanted to point out you mentioned Britain before we go. The French government does not deny having assassinated 23 African presidents. 23 African presidents, and I listed them in my second book, China Rising, when I learned about how evil the West is. And I listed the 23, or maybe it's 22, but anyway, the Secret Service of the French government has assassinated, it's either 22 or 23 African presidents. So, and then there's a couple more recent ones. They were against the vaccinations, and they died. They were assassinated because they did not want the vaccines in their countries. So, it's Murder Inc. I mean, it's just Assassination Inc. So, anyway, Modi, thank you so much. We made it work with cameras. From France to Argentina to France. I'll get this up, and then maybe in the next couple of weeks we can get back together and discuss the first half of another section of your website, which shows some of the hurdles we have to go through to try to overcome this. And then you, in the third interview, we'll scheme to make the world a better place. How's that sound?
Sounds wonderful. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll talk again.
And a nice Buddhist bow from France, and enjoy beautiful Patagonia and Argentina, and hopefully they won't. They just tried to murder a Cristina for what's the vice president? What's her last name? Yeah, Fernanda. They just tried to murder her, and they were going to try to murder
Kirchner, the Fernandez.
Yeah, Kirchner. Yeah, yeah. And then they tried to. And they were. They, And the guys they caught said they were also assigned to kill the president. So never stops. All right. Absolutely. Thank you very much. As soon as I get this up, I'll let you know. Bye-bye.